You are getting ready to listen to the voice of Dr. Roddy Ferguson, 2004 Olympian, four-time national judo champion, Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, author, speaker, and coach.
Welcome to another edition of Coffee with Roddy. This is Dr. Roddy Ferguson, 2004 Olympian, four-time national judo champion, Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, author, speaker, and coach. And today, I actually need your help. If you'd be so kind, if you're watching this right now, I'm going to hit the share button because I need as many people to see this as possible because I really need some feedback. And if you're listening to me on one of my podcasts, feel free to hit me up on Instagram, or hit me up on Facebook and send me a direct message so that I can get some, I need some help here. I really need some help. So here's my personal dilemma. My personal dilemma is this. I have been either teaching or coaching since 1999, 2000, all right? Really did my, you could say official teaching in 2001 when I did my student teaching when I was in my education program at Howard University. And then I took a job as a volunteer strength and conditioning coach at University of Maryland. Then I became an assistant strength and conditioning coach at Towson State University. So if you want to get really official, I'm having a real problem with the students that I teach right now because everything has changed, and my methods and my style have to morph and change, and I'm a little bit behind because I'm not inside of the K through 12 teaching environment. Nor do I have children who mimic the behavior of the children who come from that environment. So I have people in my dojo who tell me, he said, man, your kids are so well behaved, they listen. I said, how does it happen? I said, because I beat them. What are you talking about? I mean, we talking about why do they listen? I said, well, that doesn't work. I said, well, it clearly is working a lot better than your method. Now, do I spank my kids now? No, I said, my kids are older now. There's no reason to spank my kids now or beat them or anything like that. But I have a situation where I'm in a classroom setting and the children don't listen. And then they don't have any consequences for not listening at home. And then the parents don't want me to create any consequences for them not listening inside the dojo. And then I talk to educators and teachers, and I have some teachers inside of my dojo. And I did my PhD in education, so I do understand some of the education process. I have a cousin who's a principal. I speak with, I have another cousin who I have several cousins who teach. And in the information processing theory, you have a sender and you have a receiver. And in order for the information to go forward, the sender has a responsibility and the receiver has a responsibility. Well, in the K through 12 process, they put everything on the sender and nothing on the receiver. So if you give a child a message or you give a child a lesson and they don't get it, or they fail, or they don't do well, then they blame it on the sender or the teacher, saying that the teacher needs to find a different way to keep sending the message to the receiver until you find the method that works with the child, meaning meet the child where they are. That is a great methodology. Every method has its issues or hangups. The issue or hangup with that is that there's no onus on the receiver to ever get the message. They sit back and wait to be spoon-fed because you can't allow them to fail. I was in the dojo the other day, And I asked the young man, I said, hey, I need you to get the dummy and I need you to move it over here so you do the throws. First and foremost, I'm asking him to do that for safety reasons. I don't want the leg to swing around and hit another kid in the head. And secondly, because I wanted him to be in an area where I could watch him. I turn my back, I come back. My man is doing the throws where he wants to do them. And I stopped him. I said, hey, my man. I said, what did I tell you? He said, you told me to do the throws, to get the dummy and move it over there and then do the throws. I said, well, why didn't you do that? He said, because I wasn't listening. I said, clearly you were listening. So parents, those people who are watching, and please, seriously, I mean, I'm 46 years old. My mom and dad told me to do something. I didn't do it. Ass whooping, out the gate. Bust upside the head, out the gate. I mean, fixed right now. Let's be clear. Times have changed. Things have changed. I'm not saying that method doesn't work. What I'm saying is that's not the one we can use. I'm watching children not listen. Now, here's why this is an issue. There was a young man who left my dojo the other day, and I told him, hey, stop. Get in the car. Don't stop. He didn't listen, was running around to the back of a car that was moving. Mom asked him, why didn't you listen? He says, because I wanted to get in on my side. Now listen to this now. Listen. Listen now. Listen. All this stuff is cute and it's fun and all that stuff until a situation happens, somebody loses their life because they're not listening. Or you take your child who's not trained to listen and he decides to go into the military and he wants to bring those behaviors they're not listening in at the wrong time. Or you tell somebody to run to the left and they run to the right in a football game and somebody blitz and somebody gets hurt or gets their neck broken. See, it's all fun and games. Now, I'm challenging you because I need to hear some feedback. I need somebody to give me some feedback because you all who do not discipline your children, you all who do not spank your children, you all who do this timeout thing, you all who do this thing, I need you to help me. I need you to help me because you're making an assumption that I have the same amount of time that you do. And I'll be honest with you. Most of y'all on here, my time is worth more than your time. So I don't have all that time to be talking to Johnny 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. I don't have all that time. I don't have time to tell your child the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. I don't have that time. Nor should it be incumbent on anybody to continue to talk to your child over and over again because you have a process inside of your house that doesn't allow your child to listen. So help me, not only help me, help others who are like me, the people who teach your children, your undisciplined and unruly children, your children who don't listen, your children who don't follow directions, your children who don't follow instructions, your children who you make excuses for and say, well, they're just kids. Those children, please teach us what we're supposed to tell your children because clearly they're not listening to you. So how in the hell are we supposed to get them to listen to us? Give me some advice. Somebody write something in here. Do something. I'm looking for something. Because I'm really having a problem. I need to hear it. Because here's the thing. See, got a piece of gum stuck. If you look at education, the only people who are screaming for inclusion are the people who are normal or the people who need help. They want to be included in the normal distribution. The people who believe that they're talented and gifted, they're trying to move to the talented and gifted space, or they're jumping out and going into a private school because they don't want to be bothered. Most of these individuals who have these issues, I'm not saying that ADD is not real. I'm not saying that ADHD isn't real. I'm not saying any of that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm telling you is this. And it was in, I believe it was in Sun Tzu's Art of War, when Sun Tzu talked about it. And they asked him the file in the ranks, and they were giggling and laughing, and then somebody cut somebody's head off. And after they cut somebody's head off, then everybody about face, everybody moved the right way, and all the giggling and laughing stopped. Why? Because there has to be some consequences for behavior. Now, if we look in the behavioral modification space, in terms of education, there has to be some aversive stimulus that is provided to change behavior. You all don't want to provide an aversive stimulus. I understand talking to children. I'm with it. I'm 100% with it. You're making an error when you believe that the reasoning of a child is the same as the reasoning of an adult. A child is not an adult. A child has childlike reasoning. An adult has adult-like reasoning. It's just not the same. It's very difficult to have a hardcore conversation with a child to get a child to understand like an adult understand. They don't understand the reasoning behind it. Like that child that day did not understand why I was telling him to stop and not and get in the car and not run in the parking lot. Now here's the deal. Adhering to instructions is very, very, very important as the time gets closer to zero for the consequence of the event. If you don't listen to something and something happens right away because you didn't listen, we didn't have time to tell you two and three and four times. So the lesson that we were getting when we were young was there might be an issue that somebody tells you something and you don't have time to go back and fix it. So when somebody says something now, it is important now because they wanted it done 5 minutes from now. They ask for it 5 minutes later. I think that, and I'm not in any way telling people to beat their children. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about providing some harmonious consequences for behavior, which mirror the martial arts environment. Mirror the sporting environment, and so you don't burden the teachers in the K-12 environment. Some of your children are unruly, man. Some of your children are unruly. Nobody wants to hear their children. Listen, your children are ill-mannered. Your children are unruly. They get in between adults when adults are talking. They don't say excuse me. I can't tell you the amount of time I was at a tournament last weekend. The kid brushing past me at a tournament, I had to grab the kid and move him back and say, hey man, you need to say excuse me. I was at the YMCA a few years ago. I'm in line to register my son for the YMCA camp, maybe about 3-4 years ago. Kid just bumps past me, so I grab the kid and move him back. His mom says, don't you put your hands on my son. I said, and if I put my hands on your son, then what? So exactly what are you going to do? I said, ma'am, your child needs to learn how to say excuse me. Well, I can tell him. I said, well, we don't have time for that. I told him to say excuse me, and I moved him back. So what would you like to do about it now? Your child is ill-mannered, ma'am, and so are you. Now, everybody doesn't like that approach. I don't care if you like that approach. What I'm not going to do is let your 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old bump me or bump the young lady that I'm with or bump some old lady or bump some elderly man and almost knock them down because they feel like they're in a hurry without saying excuse me. Your children do not say please. Your children do not say thank you. Your children answer with huh and what, and they say yeah instead of yes and no. You ask your children to do stuff, they say no. Like this is unbelievable. Man, let me take a drink. It is unbelievable. And I need some of you to give me some, and it works amazingly. I absolutely love this about our school. What'd you say? Parents, oh my God, parents make so many excuses for their children. The other day, I said, man, I talked to one parent. I said, man, your son doesn't listen. He said, he's getting better. I said, that's not it. We're not having a discussion about his behavior on the curve. We're having a discussion about him not listening. I said, he doesn't listen. And how are you going to help me to help them listen. What are some of the comments I got here? You know what? Parents don't have any power at my school either. I'm going to call you Raging Trainer on here, even though I know your name. I'm just going to respect that, that's the name that you use on here. I can't tell you the amount of times where I had to tell somebody, ma'am, sir, thank you so much. I really appreciate everything that you've done and for giving Tampa, Florida Judo a try. But your membership has been revoked from here immediately. I did it last week. Yes. In class. I said, your membership has been revoked immediately. Thank you so much. And cancel their membership. I don't need that foolishness. I don't need that foolishness. It's foolishness. I had one parent. Now, understand this now, Roger. Okay, understand this now. We are having a situation where the kids are rolling, arm bars and chokes. Kid gets choked. But the hand comes in the neck and the kid is tapping. I said, man, you can't just tap when somebody put the, you have to try to fight the choke. And then when you can't tap, when you can't get out, then you tap. I said, here's what you do. I mean, we've all done this before. Say, man, tell the other guy, if he taps, don't respect the tap. You stop when I say. Just to bring a level of anxiety on the kid to make the kid fight to get out. Kid fights to get out. He's fighting to get out, doing a good job. So he's choking. I mean, we choke an arm bar. I mean, it's what we do. The mom was so upset because her child was being choked. I said, ma'am, you do understand that everybody was trying to choke everybody in here. That's what the hell we do in here. You do know that's what we do, right? We choke people. We throw people. We manipulate them. We lock out their joints. We make them holler and scream until they say, I can't take no more. And then the match is over and then we fight another one. That's kind of how the thing goes. No, sir. Not with her. Your membership is revoked immediately. And let's talk about this too. Y'all got these bubble wrap, cottonelle, mamby pamby whining children. Your children whine. I'm 46 years old. I watch a movie, I cry. I don't have no problem with crying. My daughter, God bless her, my daughter Radhi, she broke her wrist. Okay, first of all, she broke her wrist last week. Okay. She broke her wrist and didn't say nothing. I saw her pawing at the other person's gi and said, Roddy, what's wrong? She said, I hurt my wrist. I went over there and I checked it. I said, man, your wrist is broken. Lo and behold, her wrist was broken. Excuse me. She never cried. She never hollered. She never screamed. She went to school the next day. We tried to put a little brace on it. She went to school. She called me. She said, Daddy, my wrist is hurting. And that was it. No hollering, no crying, no screaming, no yelling, no whining, no these things that your children do. None of these things. Then she was outside yesterday, okay? I've had grown men doing the same weight that my daughter was doing on the sled. They're falling all out on the ground after 20 minutes and 25, 30 minutes. Radhi's, she's 10. Okay, she's 10, 11. She was pulling the sled with a 45-pound plate on it for an hour and 15 minutes straight without stopping. Tears in her eyes. She had bathed herself in sufferation. Did not whine or cry once. Did not come in. Did not ask for water. Did not say, I need a break. Did not say nothing. I know some parents that say, well, that's not good. I'm not. I'm trying to keep this whole thing really PG, so I'm not going to say what I want to say. But here's what I'm telling you. All parents are developing certain things. You need to ask yourself what you're developing. And anytime that you say, I'm trying to develop a well-normalized such and such, such and such, such kid, what you're saying is, I want my child to be average and I don't want them to have any hardships. That's what you're saying. And you're making your child weak. And we see a lot of weak children inside of our dojo and inside of our spaces. And there's a lot of weak children in the K-12 environment. And there's a reason why. This is what you need to understand. When you watch the Olympics, this is what you got to understand when you watch the Olympics. When you watch the Olympics are, they are just war games. They're games that people can play without dying so that a country can establish their global dominance through sport. When you start seeing, as you have seen in the past couple of Olympics, that gap that the United States usually has, when you start seeing that gap start closing and closing and closing and closing and closing and closing and closing, what you're watching is you're watching your country become weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And when you see the obesity rates in your country start rising and rising and rising and rising and rising, you're watching your country get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. When kids don't fail tests because they can't fail, and you're going to argue with the teachers, the country is getting weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And over a period of time, listen, when the football changes, I'm not saying that people need to hit people in the head. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the game in and of itself, even Tom Brady said it's weaker. But Tom Brady had a clip recently where he talked about basically they removed the consequence for making poor plays. Like the quarterback holds onto the ball too long and then they penalize the defensive player. The quarterback leads the receiver the wrong way. They penalize the defensive player. He says, so the quarterback never really learns consequences for poor plays. Basically, we are removing consequences for poor behavior. You all are removing the consequences for poor behavior. And thus, you're actually rewarding poor behavior. I need somebody to tell me, what are you all doing at home to aid and help out the people who you send your children to during the day when your children are unruly? Talking back. Ridiculous. I never seen this. Like, I'm 46. I've never seen a population of children that talk. Man, I didn't see these children cuss at their parents, buddy. I had a mom tell me, my daughter cussed me out. I said, what time are the services? She said, what do you mean? I said, what time are the funeral service? Cause I know, and the wake. I was trying to find out what time the service was. I had my suit ready, my tie, everything. Listen to me. I don't know how many people on here know me on here, okay? But the people who do know me, you know good and well that I was not going to cuss Rufus and Stephanie out at 12, 13, 14, 15. Hell, not now. Okay? I might get upset and say a cuss word, but to cuss my parents out? Man, are you serious, man? I'd be afraid that my dad would say, hey, man, you wait right here. And go in the room and get a gun and go, I had to put him down. Ridiculous. And nobody offering no solutions yet. I don't have no solutions. I had a parent tell me in a tennis lesson that the kid loved the lesson, except for the, oh my God. My man, Colin. I had a kid tell me, he said, we were doing a drill. He said, I don't want to do that drill anymore. I said, okay, that's fine. Then go ahead and get off the mat. So he got off the mat. He said, I like to return back to practice. I said, okay, well, you have to do that drill. He said, I don't want to do that drill. I want you to give me another one. These are real stories. These are real stories. If I went to school today, I'd be rich. Cause I just walk in there and take all the kids' lunch money. Yeah, Herman, you need coffee too, man. You need coffee too. So listen, check me out on this. I had a parent. Had a parent come to me. I've had several parents come to me. I get it. I'm a martial arts instructor, okay? I'm also a teacher, all right? I'm a martial arts instructor, I'm also a teacher. So, they said, my child is getting bullied. Okay. All right. I said, why is your child getting bullied? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, why is your child getting bullied? They said, well, I don't know. I said, hey. I said, you know. I said, just think about it. The lady said, they're picking on my child because he's weak. I said, ma'am, I want you to say that again, please. She said, they're picking on my child because he's weak. I said, ma'am, I said, why is your child weak? The lady got quiet. I said, ma'am, I said, I think that's the question that you need to ask yourself. I said, how does your child put themselves in a posture for them to get bullied? I said, because out of all the kids in that classroom, I said, there's some kids that you're just not going to bully. And there's some kids that you are going to bully. I said, now all that I do in here is I don't change the way that your child looks. I don't make them any taller. I don't make them any bigger. I don't put any muscles on them. All I do is I change how your child feels about themselves, and I give your child what's called confidence. Con, C-O-N, meaning with in the Latin, F-I-D, meaning faith. I just empower your child so that your child moves with faith. I don't make your kid tougher. I help your kid access what he already has inside of him. And allow your kid to exude confidence. I said, your household, ma'am, is allowing your child to exude weakness and turning your child into a piece of prey. I said, by default, humans are predators. And I've gone over this before. How do you know the difference between predators and prey? Predators' eyes are in front. Prey's eyes are on the side. So they're always looking around. Predators are just locked on the thing in front because they really don't care about what's going on inside because they're predators. Now, when you start doing this, to people who are looking at you like this, you turn yourself into prey. And if you've ever looked at the characteristics of felines, cats in the animal kingdom, if you start running, they'll run after you. But if you turn and run towards them, they'll stop or run away. But the fear in the prey causes the prey to run. Very rarely do you see the two attacking, unless it's two lions when they're attacking each other for the dominance of a pride. One's running towards and somebody's running away. Very rarely have you seen the prey turn around. But you've seen it. Like you've seen a mouse turn around and face the cat and the cat starts backing up. They're not built for that. You're not built to be prey, but if you start acting like prey, then the predator will pounce. All of us, the people who are my age, have been in grade school or middle school and have seen that little small kid who wasn't going to take nobody's ish. And the big guy tried to pick on him and he listened.
if he beat him, he beat him. But damn, he knew not to mess with him again, because it just wasn't worth the problem. It wasn't worth the struggle. It wasn't worth the sufferation. It wasn't worth the collateral damage. It wasn't worth the possibility that he could have lost. It wasn't worth it. Let me tell you what I do. Inside of my dojo, inside of my space, if the children get in a fight with each other and they think I'm going to stop it, you got another thing coming. When the kids get in a fight, I put everybody else on the wall and I tell the adults, let these children figure it out. And I let them figure it out. No scratching, no clawing, no eye gouging. Give what you want to receive. If you want to punch somebody, you ready to understand they're going to punch you back. This is a martial art facility. I say, have at it. Because most of the time, the kids showing out because they think somebody's going to stop and get them. I'm not coming to get you. Once you got your behind in that hot water, you need to figure it out. Now, some children have gotten beat down very quickly. And then I stop and I say, hey, are you guys finished? Sometimes they say yes, sometimes they say no. Sometimes they say, yes, we're done. I said, if you know that you can't beat this other person, I said, then you need to govern yourself accordingly. You need to learn how to tell some jokes, or you need to be nice, or you need to watch your mouth. Because this is also a problem in the gender space with men and women. You take it how you want to. I don't care. Some of y'all women need to stop talking to men crazy. I mean, that guy hit you with a left hook and knock you out and put you to sleep, put you in the cemetery. Stop talking crazy to that person. And when you're a man and you know you have the power over somebody, stop talking crazy to the person. Stop talking crazy to the woman. Stop talking crazy. But those things you learn when you're young, because you learn the consequences for behavior and the consequences of wanting to run your mouth. But when you hide behind a computer screen and you text and you Instagram and Snapchat and you're talking shit online, you don't have any consequences for your behavior, then you have a situation where you get in front of somebody and then somebody not used to conflict, not used to conflict resolution, first thing they do, pull a gun, bomb, shoot somebody, not somebody dead, because they never learned conflict resolution. All of you all are running from conflict. This is the beautiful thing about judo and jiu-jitsu and wrestling and football. You get to step on a line and you get to resolve the conflict of who believes they're better. You all are always avoiding conflict, running from conflict, running from conflict. Look somebody in the face, smile at them, go around the corner and start talking trash because you're running from conflict. You don't want to deal with an internal conflict. Parents don't want to deal with an internal conflict inside the house. Your parenting style sucks. Your kid sucks. Your kid's a loser. Your kid's weak. Your kid's unruly. Your kid's undisciplined. Some of these things are true. You don't want to hear anybody say it. Man, come talk to me. I'll pull you aside. I say, hey, man, ma'am, sir, your kid is weak, they're unruly, and they're a loser. And they can change that tomorrow. Because winning or losing is just an adjustment of attitude. But the attitude that they have right now is a losing attitude. They're going to lose in life. They're losing on the mat. They're losing everywhere. They're going to lose. And your child's not an A student either, because you can't win with this. This is losing stuff. Now, if you like to change it, we can all change it together. But if I do 50% and then you go home and you don't do the other 50%, that's still an F. Because 50% is an F, ma'am. If I do 50%, at least you do 20. At least we could pass the class with a C. Pass the class of life. But I'm doing 50% and you doing nothing. You think all you got to do is clothe and feed them. No, you have a responsibility to rear and raise a person who can exist in society, but who can lead. Even if they have to follow, they should have the characteristics to be able to lead, because the person who's leading might go down. And if they go down, then what? You all need to do better. Stop dropping your unruly and undisciplined children off to these people's school and to these people's facility and to these people's churches, and then get upset when they discipline your children. Your kid running all around the place. You calling your Johnny, 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 do you know how ridiculous you look and sound calling that child that many times? This is how I go in my place. Roddy! Yes! Daddy, did you call me? Yes, I did. That's how it works. I call you, you say yes. You don't say what? Oh, Jesus. You don't say yet. You don't say yeah, huh, or what. You say yes, and you be on your way. I remember my dad called me one time. I called myself acting like I didn't hear. Roddy! Waka! 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 Bell! Coming! He said, I know you heard me calling you. That created a situation where I didn't know if I was being called or not. Yes! I said, Dad, you called me? He said, no, I didn't call you. But hand me the remote, please. I appreciate you coming here. Because here's the thing, which you don't understand. In the realm of operant conditioning, either your child is conditioned to hear you and listen for you, or your child is conditioned to ignore you. And you all have conditioned your children to ignore you when you talk. They're not conditioned to listen to you. And this is what you don't get. You don't understand the conditioning. They're not conditioned to listen to you. They're conditioned to ignore you. And guess what? If they ignore you, they're going to ignore somebody else. Listen, a lot of mothers and fathers baby their children and they grow up as undisciplined. Oh my gosh. Yes. And then understand this now. There's more of them than there are of the people who do the disciplining. And then they get together and they start writing research and they think they're correct about what they say. They think they're right. The thing that I really like about sport is we had the National Judo Championships this past weekend. And a lot of my parents got to see the results, okay? Because they'll never go into Kitsusai and watch them practice. They'll never go into Chief Pride and watch them practice. They can see some of my students practice. They can see Roddy. They can see Rufus. They can see McKenna. They can see these people practice. And they wonder why these people are doing so good and everything is going on. At the end of the night on Tuesday in practice, I had Roddy and McKenna out front. Now Roddy hurt her wrist 2 days before we went to Nationals. I normally wouldn't let her get her medal, but she went in there, did two walk-offs and got her medal. But Roddy had trained for 9 weeks. And those who know me and follow me on social media, you watch Roddy up at 5:30 in the morning training. I didn't mind her getting her medal because she did the work. And I'm praising efforts more than I'm praising effort more than I'm praising medals any day of the week. But at the end of the class, I told the children that are the same age as Roddy, all the 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 years, same age as Roddy and McKenna. I said, do you all know the difference between these two children up here and you all? They said they work harder. I said, no, it's not just that. I said, they don't work harder. They do the work. I asked them to ask McKenna what time she gets up in the morning. She says, about 6:15, 6:30. Then I do my workout, then I go to school. Ask them what time Roddy works out. About 5:30, 6 o'clock. Then I do my workout, then I go to school. Now, all those other kids, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, they're in the bed sleeping. They're chilling. than normal. They're normal kids. They're normal. There's nothing more sad than having the opportunity to be great and choosing to be normal. That's the disservice. Many of you parents are doing your kids a disservice. You suck as parents. I don't care if you feed them. Listen, you suck. I'm telling you, you suck because I see the fruit of your labor. You suck as a parent. Your kids don't say please. You suck. Your kids don't say thank you. You suck. Your kids got to get called 3 and 4 times. You suck. Your kids don't listen when somebody is called. You suck. You suck as a parent. You suck. You need help. You don't want anybody disciplining your kid. You don't want anybody talking to your kids. Or you don't want anybody to, I handle it. Like, well, you're not handling it. You're not handling it. You're not handling it. Your kid is whining. I tell the kids this all the time. I don't mind if you cry. Cry and keep working. I cry. I cry and I keep working. Sometimes I cry and I fall out for a moment and I get up and I keep working because the work has to be done. I remember, and Herman is watching this. I remember somebody, not just one person. I remember a couple people, and I can just hear people saying about me, because I know if they said it about Herman, they said it about me. They talked to me about Herman, tell them, say, he pushes his kid, Chris, too hard. He's pushing his kid too hard. He's pushing his kid too hard. He needs to stop doing that. He's pushing his kid too hard. He's trying to live through his kid. He's pushing his kid too hard. Well, you know, maybe he is pushing his kid too hard. Maybe he's not. But here's what I do know. His kid, at his level, his kid is number one in the world. Listen to me. His kid, Chris, Christopher Belasco, is ranked number one in the world in his division. Not in the country, not in the county, not in the state, not in the area, not in the tri-state area, not in the Southwest. Number one in the world. And remember, somebody else is too much if somebody else is not enough. I remember the day when Rufus told me, "Daddy, I don't want to do judo like that anymore." And the reason being is because when you do judo, you're trying to be number one in the world. Oh my gosh, it's easy to be number one in the state. I got fourth at state. I got second at state. I got second. Yeah, we laugh at that. We actually think it's a pretty funny deal because in judo, we're talking about I got third at Pan Ams. I got third at the Pan American Championships, not third at the states. I'm a state champ. That's nice, man. I'm not saying that's not a good goal to have. What I'm telling you is there's a difference between being a state champ, being a national champ, being number one in the world. There's a difference. When I left the Olympic Games, I left at the round of 16. That means I was one of the 16 best players in the world in my weight division. Yeah, would I have liked to be number one? Yes, I would have. But most people on the planet have never tried to be best in the world at anything. Most people have not tried to be best in the world at anything. You don't even know what best in the world is, looks like. And that's another thing from you parents. And I got to close. But let me say this from you parents. If you've never pursued anything at an elite level or at a super, super high level, do not take your average lens and look at an elite thing. because you're not going to be able to see it correctly. And then what you're going to do is you're going to critique somebody based upon what you think, not what you know. What do you say? Study until 12 a.m. because everything you want to do, you know you can't be average. Yeah, school, judo, soccer, everything, right? Otherwise, don't bother. Listen, don't bother. That's the thing. Like, people think I'm crazy. People think I'm not crazy, okay? You're doing judo or you're doing jujitsu. I love it. So when you're just doing it and somebody else loves it, and Michael Jordan, and I'm not comparing myself to Michael Jordan as an athlete. I would not disrespect Mike, nor disrespect myself like that. But what I'm telling you is this. Michael Jordan even said, he says, I have a love of the game. I have a love for the game. Some people play in the game, and it's different when you play in the game and different when you love the game. Like, I've never gone into judo. I've never gone into my dojo, the place where I work. Never. I'm talking about, I have never, ever, ever gone to judo and be like, man, I don't want to be here today. I had a retinoplasty surgery. One, laser, and another one they had to put me out and reattach my retina because it was detaching. My students can tell you this. I had eye surgery. Both times I had eye surgery, the day of the eye surgery, I was back in the dojo. One day I couldn't see out of both eyes. I had my eyes closed, and I knew what everybody was doing because the dummies and the throws, it was taking too long for the next throw, for me to hear the sound of the next throw. And I didn't miss practice. I had surgery on my knee. I had to get my LCL surgery done on my knee. The same day that I had surgery, I was on the field with my son, training with my son. Some of you guys like it. And some of us love it. And when the people who just like it run into people who love it, you all have a problem with the people who love it. But what's the reason why you're here? And the people who love it do it at a different level. They live life at a different level. Some of you parents, you need to level up. Some of you kids, man, you need to level up. And some of the coaches that are listening, stop being afraid of the parents. Tell the parents they have to make some adjustments or find you some new parents. Because you're not doing the parents any good, and you're not doing yourself any good. And the people who run these martial arts facilities and they got these 30-minute classes and they play games with these kids and they don't teach the kids any real life skills or anything, and they're patting them on the back and letting them still, you know, suck on the titty and get breast milk. Listen, they're not, you're fraudulent. You teach a martial art, and the word martial means warlike. It doesn't mean we're preparing for war, but it means it's a warlike type of preparation. You need to prepare these kids for life. That requires mental, physical, and emotional readiness. And it's not easy. And there's some trauma that goes along with it. And it won't look nice all the time. 8 5-minute rounds of Tachiwaza, and then 6 4-minute rounds of Neiwaza, and then, you know, 4x10 throws on the crash pad, and then ropes at the end. That's not fun for anybody. A couple of people are going to vomit. A couple of people are going to be outside. A couple of people are going to have heat exhaustion. That's just how it goes, man. And some will make it, and some won't. And that's how it, everybody's not supposed to make it. Some people who get inside the stadium, they buy a ticket and they're in the stands. And there's some people who are in the stadium because they're on the list and they're on the track. And there's some people in that stadium who will be seen because they'll be on the podium. Everybody is in the stadium for a different reason. But there's only one champ. There's only one. And a lot of you think that you have all the time in the world and you don't. The time that you need to get it right, you need to get it right today. I know today's Coffee with Roddy was a little bit of a rant, but listen, I'm going to tell you, some of you parents need to do a better job. That's just a fact. It's just a fact. Your children are whiny, they're unruly, they're crybabies, and they're disrespectful. And let me tell you something. If you did bust their ass every time they were disrespectful, they would change their behavior, because it's none of us who are on here who have ever touched the hot stove twice.